spaceship for light speed.
No, light speed is too slow.
Light speed too slow?
Yes, we're gonna have to go right to ludicrous speed.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Milkshakes Markets Madness. This will be a midweek update for everybody. If you're new to the show, you can go to milkshakespod.com to learn more if you don't know what the heck a dollar milkshake is, or go to the Start Here playlist at the top of our YouTube channel. You can find that using the handle milkshakespod. That'll take you down the rabbit hole, help you better understand the dollar milkshake theory, which my friend here, Brent Johnson, came up with to explain the global financial system and the US dollar's role in that system. But today we're going to talk markets. Brent, is there anything that you want to bring up right away?
No, I think we'll talk about all of it. But just in general, you know, the data that's come in this week has been a little soft, which has led to, you know, a little bit more of a dovish tilt to the overall markets. You know, we've kind of been talking about this for a while, that perhaps the economy's starting to roll over a little bit. And we're starting to see that in some of the data here.
Yeah, at least the bond market gets to catch its breath for a hot minute. You know, one of the things that came to mind recently, certainly with the conversations we're having and the data, is, you know, living in Hawaii or on the island of Oahu, specifically on the North Shore, there's, as you descend into Haleiwa, you're going through the plantation fields, you're going down Kamehameha Highway. We have that road where you're descending into the North Shore. We call it Pineapple Road, and it's a fun drive, beautiful drive, especially during the winter. And there's massive surf. You can see the white caps for miles out to the horizon. But what's funny about that road and why it comes to mind is it's especially towards, I'd say, the last 2 or 3 miles. It gets very vertical. And so you could pretty much just coast the whole thing. And if you do, your speed obviously is going to accelerate. I can't recall exactly. I think maybe it's like a 45 mile per hour road at that point. And then pretty much right at the bottom, it's more or less a speed trap, right? It goes from like 45 to 25. I mean, you're in this complete vertical descent. It's really just, so the cops can sit there at the bottom and try to ping people. And why that comes to mind is, you know, as you're going down this hill, I like to think of it as there's really two types of drivers on the road at that point. You have the locals who know what's going on. They know what's up ahead. And then you have the tourists who have no idea. But, you know, whether depending on the order of who's driving and who's behind who, eventually the brake lights start to come on and it doesn't really matter who you are. You know what's coming. But in the event that, you know, you don't have a local driving in front, and you know they're well aware of the speed trap and the cop hiding behind a palm tree or wherever they like to kind of hide, you don't have those brake lights. And so you kind of go full speed into a situation, or maybe you're slightly unprepared for the sudden stops that people know what's up ahead. It kind of reminds me of what's going on here in that, you know, you have the macro tourists, and that's always a funny thing that people like to, a term people like to use. But, you know, people who've been in these situations, have been in these markets for a while, they can kind of see that speed trap coming up ahead. And I'm just wondering if you feel like, you know, some of those tourists are going to be a little late to put on the brakes.
Yeah, you know, I think that's actually a fantastic analogy. And, you know, I've driven on that road a few times, so I actually know exactly what you're talking about. But, you know, I kind of feel like there's a lot of people who have kind of been saying, hey, this is where the cops typically show up. You know, you got to be kind of careful. And the thing is, though, I think that not just the tourists who don't know about the cops, but even the people who have driven the road for a long time, I think that they think that the cops just aren't going to be there. And what I mean by that is I think that they're expecting the Fed to come out any second now and, you know, reverse course, cut rates, go back to QE and provide a lift to risk assets. And that's why I think they're trying to front run the speed trap, right? They think that they're not going to have to go through the speed trap. They think that they're not going to have to slow down. And as a result, they're trying to front run, you know, not the cops giving you a ticket, but, you know, kind of waving you through. And I think I think the cops are there, and I think they're going to give you a ticket. And I think there's going to be a couple crashes, right? And part of the reason is because now that we are getting some disinflation, now that, you know, prices aren't skyrocketing higher like they were a year ago, and now that, you know, there is starting to be some uncertainty in markets, that's what the Fed has wanted, right? That the Fed is getting what they wanted. And the idea that they are all of a sudden going to flip around, cut rates, do QE, and push markets higher from here with the possibility of reaccelerating the inflation that they've been trying so hard to fight, I think it's just wrong. And I also think that they don't mind giving out a few tickets. And I don't think that they mind a few cars going into the ditch. In fact, I think they think that that would help their effort to slow down the speeders, right? Because if you think about this whole inflation versus deflation thing, inflation is kind of like people driving too fast, and they're trying to slow people down. So why would they just go home and let people drive 100 miles an hour if they're trying to slow people down? And so, you know, we talked last week about, you know, Alex Gurevich and, you know, how he's been kind of calling this for a while. You know, Mike Green's kind of been calling for this for a while. And they said, listen, if you look under the, you look under the hood, you know, these things are, the data is deteriorating faster than you think it is. And it's just not showing up in the numbers yet. And I think there's absolute truth to that as well. But I think there's a lot of people who are also digging under the hood, and they're seeing, wow, things are getting bad under the hood. That means the Fed's going to flip. But again, I just don't think the Fed is going to flip until we've got a few cars in the ditch. And right now, cars aren't in the ditch. You know, every time we get some dovish data, you know, markets kind of pick back up and jump higher. And so I think that's kind of where we're at now. You know, markets are within, I don't know, 5% of their all-time high. Why would the Fed cut when their markets are within five points of their all-time high? It's just, to me, I think people are kind of misreading it. And again, I'm not one of these people who thinks we're going to have the Great Depression and that we're going into a five-year bear market. My core thesis is that we need kind of a correction, but it's probably at this point, it's probably a dip that you buy. Now, I'll have to kind of wait and see when and if that happens, whether or not I do or not. But as of right now, that's kind of my core thesis. So again, I just think there's a lot of misunderstanding of what's going on, and not only what's going on, but how the Fed will react to it when it shows up.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to take that analogy and run with it. I knew you would be able to. Just so everybody knows, there was no prepping on that. He had no idea the Pineapple Road hey, story was.
I got some skills, John. Come on, you give me a little credit here.
You got lots of skills. So you know the brake lights are starting to show. You know, one of the last two episodes we did, it was probably the long form from this weekend, if not the peak of the week. But we talked about asset prices, and we talked about the Fed's messaging, and repeatedly he said in his Jackson Hole speech, Fed Chairman Powell had mentioned multiple times the state of asset prices and bringing those asset prices down. And you mentioned stocks being within 5% of all-time highs. Well, it's the same story in housing. I mean, a lot of markets are back to all-time highs, and he's addressed housing as a concern. Now, obviously, the supply phenomenon there is something that may be out of the Fed's control, but they're going to do everything they can with the blunt tools that they have to try to wrestle that inflation. So there's on one side, there's that. And then when we look at some of the data this week, so far, we've had the JOLTS job opening numbers, and you had, openings, hirings, and quits were all declining while there was an increase in layoffs. And that's a four standard deviation event. It's only happened once before, or whenever it's happened before, it's like within less than 5% of the time, and there's always a big recession involved. So look, you can take little data points like that and say, look, this has never happened except in these environments. So of course there's recession. That's not necessarily the extrapolation we're trying to make. It's just another, you know, brake lights are showing up again now in the data. GDP missed expectations. They're looking for 2.4, came in at 2.1. And, you know, so far as a trend in the week, we're seeing slowing in the economy, which the Fed wants, but it's not necessarily, like you're saying, the crash that's going to get them to come out and let everybody drive through without getting a speeding ticket.
Yeah, and you know, you look at some of this data, the data's not horrible, right? And so, you know, but it is slowing and it is coming in a little bit lower than expectations. And so I found it pretty interesting over the last, call it 2 or 3 weeks, because again, markets kind of made their high a month ago. They pulled back, they rallied, they pulled. And so we've kind of gone through a miniature violently sideways, right? The swings haven't been as big, but kind of largely for the last month, things have kind of gone sideways to down a little bit. Even today, you know, the market was flat in the morning. Some dovish data came out and it rallied pretty hard. But by the end of the day, you know, I think maybe they were up a little bit. I think the Dow was kind of flat and maybe the NASDAQ was up 0.5% or something. But again, off its high. So I think there is a lot of uncertainty is coming back into the market, right? Whereas for a long time, it was pretty clear which way things were headed. But I think, the uncertainty is coming back in. But the odd thing to me, the fact that even though uncertainty is coming back in, the VIX just continues to lounge around at near all-time lows. It's really kind of an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, we've usually taken the midweek update as an opportunity to maybe get a little more specific or granular at other recordings where you mentioned things like dovish or hawkish. And here, you know, this isn't the first time you've talked about the VIX, but since you put a spotlight on it, I think we'll pin that on our bulletin board as something in another episode, even potentially this weekend, we dive in and kind of explain the VIX in a lot of different ways, both as an indicator and really what it is as an index overall. But for now, I think as a midweek update goes, I think this has covered things well. If you want to follow my man here, Brent Johnson, the man with the skills, you can do that at Twitter at Santiago AU Fund. You can find me at John Kutzmita. And this is the Milkshakes Markets Madness show. We do not like to call it a podcast. We consider ourselves slightly more sophisticated than that, as you can tell. So this is the Milkshakes Markets Madness show. You can follow us on Twitter, Milkshakes Pod, same handle for YouTube and everywhere else, Milkshakes Pod. And just a quick little reminder, anyone else is still with us at the end of this recording, we have changed our Spotify link and show. They've done some changes over there at Spotify, so we modified as well. So if you're a Spotify person wondering where the content has been and you're here on YouTube, check the link in our bio on Twitter and it will all be there for you as well as on the website. So Brent, I appreciate it. We'll be catching up here in a little bit again to record one of our favorite segments, the Madness segment. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week and we'll talk to everybody soon. This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.